The fourth Sunday of Easter is always called Good Shepherd Sunday. There's a gospel always that focuses on the Good Shepherd. But today I've chosen to preach on our first reading that comes to us from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. This book of the Bible was written by the same author who wrote the gospel according to Luke. It is actually a sequel to that gospel. It captures stories among the apostles of Jesus following his resurrection. The book is roughly broken into two major sections. The first part deals with the apostles' work in Jerusalem and the surrounding towns of Israel. The principal character in this first part of the story is the apostle Peter. The second half of the book follows the work of the Apostle Paul, whose mission was mostly outside of Israel in other parts of the Roman Empire. The book is also the story of the expansion of the mission of Christ beyond the Jews to the Gentiles, as we will hear in other stories in the coming few next weeks. Today's story is about Peter raising a disciple named Dorcas from the dead. We know she was a woman deeply loved in the community of Joppa for her charitable works, especially in her care of the widows from that community. Oftentimes we see New Testament stories written as parallels to Old Testament stories. The raising of Dorcas parallels the raising of the widow's son by Elijah and the raising of the Shunammite woman's son by Elisha. The significance of this story, which authenticates the ministry of Peter and the early church, is much the same way as raising Jairus' daughter by Jesus authenticated his messianic ministry. The sign serves as a gospel revelation. It proclaims the realization of Israel's messianic hope of a coming kingdom where the dead find new life and the poor and the widow can rejoice in plenty. The miracle becomes known all over Joppa, and many people, most probably Jews, believed in the Lord. When the dead are raised and the widows rejoice, this becomes a sign that the kingdom has arrived in our midst. Widows, historically in most cultures, are among some of the most vulnerable people in our society. This was a reality in the times of Jesus and his followers. It has been true in nearly every single culture on earth. It was true in the United States and didn't change until the mid-1960s, and it remains true in many places of the world today where women do not have equal status. Why is this, especially those who were widowed, living this fragile state for most of human history, and it continues even now? It all boils down to the status of women in culture. In most cultures, with some rare exceptions, property and money were set within a primogeniture system, a system in which men owned and controlled property, and the death of a husband, land and assets resorted to the next male heir, jumping right over mom or grandma completely. Native American cultures were an exception to that rule. Widows were at the mercy of their children, and many had to rely on charity for most of their support. Some of you may remember that many churches set up homes for widows as part of their community outreach, and maintained them until the late 1960s, when the final piece of the Social Security net was finally put in place in this country, namely Medicare and Medicaid. prior to 1965, there was no health safety net for elderly or low-income people, of which widows made up a significant percentage. So until then, it was common for churches to fill the gap with homes set up for the care and well-being of widows. My very first job when I moved to Connecticut was at St. Paul and St. James in New Haven, and my position was funded from an endowment from the sale of the widow home that the parish built and operated for over 100 years. As a result, my job description was, in part, to care for the widows in our community. To this day, in many cultures, the rights of women remain the strict purview of husbands or the head male in their families. Think of it that Saudi Arabia, women have only been allowed to drive vehicles for the past 2 years or so, but only with the husband's permission. My neighbor woman right across the street from me in stores is from Saudi Arabia, who is doing graduate work at UConn and is just learning to drive. So if she needs help, I'm the person she calls to take our kids to school if they miss the bus or there's construction on the street. Or just this week when a woman was visiting her and the car battery went dead in the driveway. She is here because her husband has given her permission to be at UConn and permission to learn to drive, not because she could have made that decision on her own. And there are limits to her tolerance. For the record, just so you know, Art and I are destined for hell. But that is a whole nother story for another sermon, because we've actually gone there with her directly. But slowly, bit by bit, her heart is changing. But she still has to be very careful, even speaking with me. The reality of God's kingdom for people of Israel was evidenced in God's healing power applied to the poor. When the dead are raised and the widows rejoice, then we know the kingdom is come. God's miraculous power, evident in the ministry of Peter, authenticates this ministry and thus authenticates his move later toward the Gentiles, as we shall hear next week. The kingdom is come, and it's come for all humanity, not only the Jews. One of the central messages throughout Old Testament scriptures is on its insistence and care of the widow, the orphan, and the alien in your land, as central to advancing God's mission of reconciliation and restoration. The scriptural mandate to care for those on the margins is essential to the coming of God's kingdom. Dorcas, being raised by Peter, would have had the widows rejoicing, a sign of God's kingdom come. Today is also Mother's Day. And I find it interesting that it coincides with the Sunday of the reading of Dorcas being raised from the dead, because I believe it is occasion for all of us, especially those of us who are sons, husbands to wives, fathers to daughters, of how very fragile many women and mothers still are in the world around us, and to commit all of ourselves to speaking up for the inherent dignity of all women, regardless of their station in life. While the Me Too movement seems to have the attention in the current public conversation, the plight of the widow historically, as among the most marginalized people in society, is an invitation to speak out for the justice for all women, whether it's at home, in the workplace, or for the rights to women to make decisions regarding their own bodies. So as we give thanks for our mothers and those who mothered us, let us remember all those women who suffer simply because of their gender. God's power is transformative for all creation. All God's people should be enlivened people and a joyous, caring people, a people set free. Of course, such transforming power is not ours to create. Just as Peter's healing of Dorcas was not his doing, only the living God can empower us with new life. It is the indwelling spirit of Christ that can transform death into life, sadness into joy, carelessness into compassion. One of the most remarkable things that occurred during these past several months, when we've said goodbye and farewell to so many loved ones, having buried four people from this place just this weekend, were the stories of how each of the people who died were agents of transformation in the lives of those of us who were family, co-workers, and friends. In the midst of death were stories shared of the abundance of life and how each one of these individuals was a transformative force in each of our daily lives. It's like the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, how each life has a profound impact on every single other life. George Bailey, which by the way was Jimmy Stewart's favorite role to play, had a transformative impact on just about every person in Bedford Falls. Like Doris, who was a transformative presence in her community of Joppa, each one of us is called upon to be agents of transformation in every situation and in every encounter we have. But as in the case of Peter, it was God who was at work in him. He did not do any of this on his own. And when the church is made up of transformed people, then the world truly does witness the coming day of glory. Then is the gospel proclaimed in sign and flesh, not only in words. Such a transformation is only possible through the Spirit, who inevitably transforms us when we call upon her. So again, we are reminded of the need to pray the prayer of faith, believing in God's power to renew each of us through Christ. We need to call upon God's Spirit to come so we might be those agents of transformation and bring God's kingdom just a little bit closer each and every day. Amen.